Yeah.
One of the biggest differences, and it was a result of unification, was when we were in the north in Solstenhammer, mm-hmm. every battalion or regiment had its own concern. Mm-hmm. The CO was God within that, and we were next door to an infantry battalion. We shared the hockey rink and that type of thing in the schools. But the camp was a camp for a battalion level organization. When we moved south, we took over the Air Force concept of the base.
Yeah.
And the base, we were lodgers on the base, but the CO was not King Tut, there was a full colonel. And a whole CFE, Canadian Forces mm-hmm. Europe, and then base Lyre. And so they had a two-star general, four-ring base commander, colonel, and then we had our own brigade commander. So it made things pretty damn complicated, whereas before you had a lieutenant colonel reporting to soldiers.
Yeah.
And the base concept really emasculates the wrong word, but it took away quite a bit from unit cohesion, because every one of those units up north had its own officer's mess, mm-hmm. its own sergeant's mess, its own corporal's mm-hmm. mess, its own gunner's mess. When we moved south, there was only one mess, Black Force officer's mess, yeah. master officer's, sergeant's mess, and it wasn't even the corporal's mess.
There wasn't, no.
No. Now, most of us got around that by having illegal little messes in our buildings, and, but it worked against unit cohesion. Mm-hmm. Another thing which was interesting was in the north in the 50s, an awful lot of drinking.
Yeah.
An awful lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it had to do with the hangover from World War II, mm-hmm. where even in those days, all your majors had two rows of ribbons and big mustaches. And there's an awful lot of drunkenness. Mm-hmm. That didn't occur when I went back.
No.
There was very little. I fired one NCO, kicked him out of the army for drinking.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of reasons for that. One was we had the breathalyzer.
Mm.
And the meatheads, the military police, would wait outside the gate. And our poor soldiers would come out of the canteen where they were drinking, and then they'd pick them up and throw them in jail. So everybody was dead scared of and that was a good thing in a way. And at the time, in 75, 77, there was drugs around. But it wasn't really as apparent as I'm sure it is today.
Yeah.
But we had special, special investigation people who would brief me about the fact mm-hmm. that there were drug dealers
really?
Around. Yeah.
Oh.
So that was an interesting approach.
Interesting.
Our officers were, and our NCOs, were probably better educated than they were in the 50s. And that was a good thing. Another thing which kind of worked against the regimental spirit was not only did we not have a mess to go to of our own, but TV came into life.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as television came in, the regimental officer's mess or sergeant's mess was a focal point of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And when TV came in, and you didn't have your own mess, it worked against it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd pick it up again when you went into the field, of course, because everybody would have a little illegal battery canteen, etc. So that was a big change I saw. The other thing, big change, was working for the Americans and the British and the Germans rather than the British,
mm-hmm.
and not getting supplied with British food, which was really rotten up there.
Was it?
better food. Our officers, as I said, had a lot more Royal Military College graduates.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo Dallaire was one of them. And, another thing they did, it wasn't related to Four Brigade, but the University of Manitoba brought in an educational program.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about it at all?
No.
And it said, we will look at your training over the year, and we will give you up to 1 year to a university degree. Then we will allow you to go to any other university and take a course, or write us and tell us what the course is, and we will tell you whether or not that equates to a U of M course, and we will give you a credit. And I did that. I had a junior matric when I joined, and I got a BA when I was 50.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, but many people did, like Lou McKenzie,
yeah.
And you know, a lot of the people around. It took me 13 years.
Yeah, but still.
Still, it was a damn good program. It's still going today.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can take them at different universities.
I never stepped onto the campus of U of M, not once. But I've got courses from Kansas University and Lawrence, Kansas, both four Toronto universities,
wow.
Waterloo, UBC.
All over.
And I'd be writing essays in the back of an APC or on an airplane or something.
That is so
yeah,
neat.
It was really fun.
Good for you.
Yeah, so that was a good program that came in. But, I've been thinking about other differences, but...
Those are actually extremely helpful.
Are they?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad you did that because my questions, like you said, they're all focused on logistics,
right.
Kind of, and this is way more of a social aspect.
Oh, it's very much a social aspect.
Yeah, and I really like it, but I found I didn't have enough time to kind of integrate it.
Right.
But you did it on your own, so thank you.
You did ask me the difference. I think Cease mentioned that I would see a difference between four
particular. Yeah, definitely.
It's quite different, too, in having teenagers rather than little kids. Well, I only had one little boy. Anyway... I might think of something. If I think of anything else, I'll. You might well have a paragraph or two on social.
On the social aspects. Yeah.
Because, you know, the strength of our unit has a lot to do with the officers' messes, you know, and the sergeants' messes. And if you degrade that, you've lost a bit of unit cohesion. Mm-hmm. And for instance, it's a small thing, but in a unit, if the CO walked into a for coffee in the morning, everybody stood up.
Mm-hmm.
But that never happened in the brigade mess because you got seven COs.
Yeah.
So you know, there's no sense in that Black Forest Officers Mess. Or I call it the Black Officers Forest Mess. there was that wasn't there. It was interesting.
Yeah. So you had just in that case just a brigade mess?
Brigade mess.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was just huge.
It was huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was lovely too.
Yeah.
No French Army,
nice.
Yes, or French Air Force, actually.
But yeah, it disrupted that sense of...
But everybody formed. The Van Dudes were next to me, Terry Liston, and he even got a kitchen. And I had, we called it the stand easy, which is an artillery term, to leave the guns. And I formed a Master Bombardiers club, too. Mm-hmm. But they were too small, really, to be viable as social, you know, you couldn't have, but you know, I'd have a every 6 months or so a regimental dance, you know, and you get the club. And,
just at the regimental.
Just at the regimental. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great club.
If you can just clarify for me, how many men were in one regiment?
We were about 600.
Okay.
And that's another interesting point. When Lieutenant Colonel Jake Beard, who also lives in Victoria, commanded, what was he, 2nd Regiment. I was flying out in Shiloh, he was in Winnipeg. He had 1,200 men in his unit. When I was commanding, I had 600.
1,200, and where was he then?
He was in Winnipeg.
Wow.
And
you had 600 when you were, it was at the same time you were in Lawrence?
No.
No,
that
okay.
was a degradation. Yeah. Because when we went from the divisional concept, at divisional artillery, there's usually a locating regiment, anti-aircraft, other things, which medium artillery in those days.
Yeah.
but when they disbanded the 1st Division, they formed brigade groups, mm-hmm. and they give them what they called a divisional slice of Div troops, so they got a medium battery. So Jake Beer had 3 light batteries and a medium battery.
Mm-hmm.
They got a slice of the locating. He got a locating battery. That was, you know, people do flash spotting, sound ranging, And what else did he have? Anyway, he had much bigger batteries too. He had 8-gun batteries. I had 6-gun batteries. But it was, and that was in 63 or 4. Bill Turner came back from Germany. Anyway, that degraded. You know, they took away the locating, they took away air defense, they took away this, and in the end, I ended up with about 600 people,
wow.
Rather than 1,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year was, what time period was that?
70, no, 60. When did I go from Shallow to Winnipeg? 65.
65, okay.
64, 65.
So that was when there was much more of an emphasis, too, on the defensive policy. Kind
of. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we disbanded the division because the British disbanded the division. You know, we did everything the British did. We used all of their pamphlets. That's another thing. In 4 Brigade, all of our technical and tactical doctrine was British, and we used British pamphlets, documents, and they're bloody good.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. But then we went to Unified and we started writing our own. Mm. And they weren't as good.
And this was when you moved down.
Yeah. And that's another thing that was a big change was the technical aspect. Royal College of Military Science, that's it.
Is that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Royal College of Art.
Knew you'd get it.